Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. I'm excited about the opportunity we have coming up to be training men in preaching and teaching the Word of God. We've done that for many years off and on and had to take a break when we were building this building. And the other day, Lynn Woods came by. He has some books that he's reading. One is on the preacher and his preaching, and we talked about some things concerning developing sermons, and we were actually doing some exercises, and from the exercises I said, you know, I like so much what we're doing here, I'm going to preach one of these on the radio and another one in church. I just didn't have any idea I'd be preaching the other one in church today. But as it turns out, I believe it's exactly what the Lord would have us to do. It's in Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to start. Keep your Bibles open. We'll stay in Genesis, but we're going to go from 12 to 22. Relax, we're not going to cover every verse in every chapter. I don't want to lose you before we ever get started. We're going to just cover three episodes in the life of Abraham. What we're going to be looking at today is this subject, the obedience of Abraham. What we're going to do is we're going to examine his obedience in three different episodes in his life. And when you see what he had to go through, you're going to see the hard choices that he faced when he was asked to obey God. Because a lot of times what happens when God asks you to do something, then there can be problems. You're also going to see the growth in his faith as he obeyed God, and the growth in his faith that came as a result of his obedience to God. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take care of your sheep. And today, undoubtedly, Father, we have amongst us both those who are your children by faith in Jesus Christ and those who are not yet your children but are curious enough at least to be here. And we pray through the preaching of the Word of God that both will be ministered to, that those that are here today that are your children, that are saved, will grow today, that you'll feed them today, they'll be edified today while you're being glorified through the magnification of your Word. And we pray, Lord, that they'll see it, get it, understand it, grow by it. And I also pray, Father, for those who are here today without Christ, that they'll hear in this message what your Holy Spirit wants them to have to help them to realize how much their lives will change and improve by receiving Jesus Christ. And I pray they'll be encouraged to do that even today, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now the first episode in Abraham's life where he is called upon to obey God that we're going to study today is in Genesis chapter 12, which is where you've turned. And we're going to begin reading here with verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." In other words, leave, but I'm not going to exactly tell you where to go till you go. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot, that's his nephew, went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, you may know the rest of this story, and if you do, that's going to help you. If you don't, we'll fill in some of the blanks. But basically what happened is Abraham had grown up in, and at this time he's still called Abram, had grown up in an area of the Middle East called Ur of the Chaldees. Well, if you know anything about history, you know the Chaldean Empire is also over which Nebuchadnezzar ruled when he was in Babylon. So that's going to be up above the Persian Gulf, okay? In that area along the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, in that vicinity. And that's where Abram was, and the Lord said, "I want you to get out of there, and I want you to go to a place that I show you." Well, the place he took him is the place what is modern-day Israel, but it includes even more of the land than Israel inhabits today. He said, "That's where I want you to go, and I'm going to give you that land, and I'm going to bless you, and anybody that blesses you, I'm going to bless them, and anybody that curses you, I'm going to curse them." So in being asked to leave, he not only was asked to leave his country, but he was also asked to leave his family. Commanded, not asked, commanded. He said here in verse 1, get thee out of thy country. That's already bad enough if you're a heritage freak. I shouldn't say a freak. And from thy father's house, which means in order to obey me, you're going to not only have to leave the place of your family's possession, but you're going to have to leave your family as well. But notice that God did promise him a blessing of obedience. I will bless them that bless thee. He also promised him a protection of obedience. I will curse him that curseth thee. And in Abe's case, he also received a provision for his obedience. Look what happened when in verse 10, he had already been to the land of Canaan. That happened in verse 5. All right, well, in verse 10, there was a famine in that land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in that land. Well, he ended up, that was a problem. He said, God, you got me over here. This is exactly where you want me to be, and the place dried up. Thanks. I should have stayed home. What were you thinking? All right, so he goes from Canaan, he goes down into the land of Egypt, but when he gets down there, he's scared. Look at verse 11. It came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon, married a beautiful woman. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me. They'll save you alive. Well, he didn't know if they'd do that or not, but that's what he was afraid of. So listen, in spite of the famine and in spite of his fear, you can also see that God provided for Abram in his obedience. Look in chapter 13. Chapter 13. By the time that Abram leaves Egypt, he didn't die. Verse 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south, and Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. God was good to him. So you see, so the obedience that God commanded of Abraham was not without its blessings and protections and provision. Okay? So that was a pretty good deal. But you know, Abram was told by God, leave your country and leave what? Leave your family. Well, you may not have noticed, but old Lot is still hanging around with him. Lot went with him to Canaan. Lot went with him down into Egypt. He comes back up into the south country, and Lot's still around there. Lot is family. He may be a nephew, but when Abraham has to rescue him from Sodom and Gomorrah, he refers to him as my brother. So they're very close. In other words, Abraham did not fully obey God here. He partially obeyed God. And the reason is he hadn't separated from his family. So Lot was still with him. And that caused problems. Look in chapter 13, verse 8. If Abram was rich, so was Lot. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Their herdmen weren't getting along. Too many cattle, not enough land. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself. That's what God told him to do in the first place. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. That's funny how he did that. God said, you separate. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. In other words, choice is yours. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. That's obvious. It's a valley down there. It's lush. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. That was bad, because the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Bob Jones Sr. said, that plain may have been a good place to raise cattle, but it wasn't a good place to raise a family. I'm going to tell you something. Here's the point. Listen. One of the greatest difficulties in obeying God is that you may be a grief to your family. In other words, in order to do what God said for you to do in your life, you may have a confrontation with your family. In this case, he said, get away from them. They would be saying, well, so what's so bad about us? Or who's going to take care of Lot if I go? Or all those other kinds of concerns. And God said, I don't want you to worry about that. In other words, to obey God sometimes is very painful because of the grief that it causes your family sometimes. It can be very humiliating. Because they got to say, you're going to do what? You're off your rocker, man. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I know none of you have ever had a family member that ever said that. I'll tell you, and it's the strangest thing. You know this is a very legitimate, good church, getting well fed by the Bible here and stuff like that, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've heard some of you say to me, when your families found out you were going to a Baptist church to learn the Bible, they thought you were joining a cult. You want to know, I can introduce you some cults, but this isn't one. I mean, they don't understand, in other words. They can't figure out why you might do something like that. They may be very disappointed in your decision. Can you imagine my conversation with my father? Can you imagine my conversation with my great uncle when I went to them to tell them I was resigning as president of a bank to go to Bible college, start all over again and learn the ministry? That was a grief. And I had to tell my dad, I said, I'm not doing this to be offensive to you in any way or the family. I have a great deal of respect for you. I was raised in a Catholic home. I said, but this is what God wants me to do, and this is what's in my heart to do. This is what I have to do. I'll tell you what, it's one of the hardest things you'll ever face if you come from a similar religious family as I did. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever face to make a decision to obey God in a direction that He takes you, that might take you away from your family religion. But I want to ask you something. I bet you're feeling pretty good right now that I made that choice. You see, it hurts somebody close to you, but it can help a lot of people. And so you sometimes just have to make those choices to obey God and say, in spite of the fact that this hurts, I've got to make this separation or I will never get to what God wants me to do. Now, you know, some of you understand and you know the story of Lot. If you don't, I'll just fill in some of the blanks. But it didn't go very well for Lot down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. By chapter 14, that area is attacked by some kings from the east. And he and his family are taken captive and all of their possessions are gone. Abraham has to intervene, leave his area, go to war against those kings and rescue those people of Sodom and Gomorrah so that he can rescue his nephew, his family, and his possessions. And the sad thing about it is that after he rescued Lot and got him back to his place and back into his country and back onto his ranch, Lot still lost it. He stayed around there until that city had gone into such wickedness with homosexuality and pride and laziness and all the other things that they were involved in, their abundance of bread and their prosperity. God came in there and destroyed those cities. And he lost daughters that were married to sons-in-law. He lost his wife. He ended up with two daughters who had never known a man. They didn't have any offspring. They got him drunk. Incest was committed and they ended up having children by their father. And those children, Moab and Ammon, became bitter enemies to this day of the Jews. He should have left Lot in the area of the Chaldees. Abraham couldn't fix him. You say, I'm not going to obey God because I got to stay here to take care of my family. No! Amen. You have to obey God. Lot could have fixed a lot of things. He saw what was going on down there. He made bad choices. He reaped what he sowed. Now, when God tells you to obey, you need to do so, and you need to do so fully. even though it may be hard on you and even though it may be hard on your family. It doesn't have to be hard on you and it doesn't have to be hard on your family, but sometimes it is. And if it is, you just got to do what God is showing you to do. That's very instructive. God blessed Abraham abundantly for making the right choice to obey God. So let's go on to the second episode in his life. Second episode in his life is Genesis chapter 21 that we were going to look at today. You may find some other things you want to see, but these are the significant ones that are really, really replete with difficulties. Here's the second one. Genesis chapter 21, look at verse 9. Now this particular episode, this is when Abraham and Sarah already have Isaac, and now there's trouble in the family because Ishmael, the older son, is giving real trouble to his baby boy. And so is Ishmael's mother. Genesis chapter 21, verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. All right, so the second thing that God told him to do, or the second episode we're looking at concerning what God told him to do, was not only leave your country and your family, but this time he says, get rid of your boy. You gotta get that kid out of the house. Yeah, you may not realize, because by this time Ishmael is a teenager. And the circumstances of his birth were not ideal circumstances, but he had been around Abraham, and he was the only child that Abraham had up to this point, and he had gotten very close to Ishmael. Matter of fact, when God said, you and your wife Sarah made a terrible mistake. When your wife Sarah told you that in order to get my promise fulfilled of a seed in your family, I don't know if y'all, or really most of you are familiar with this, but Abraham was a very old man, and his wife was, you don't call women very old. But she was up there in years, I can tell you that. They couldn't have children. God said, you're going to have it was a divine thing. You're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. And your whole generations are going to come from that boy. Well, they rushed it. Sarah said, it's obviously not happening with me, so Hagar, why don't you take Hagar and lie with her and y'all have a baby, and that'll be our seed. That'll be the fulfillment of God's promise. And so he did that. And did not realize what it was going to do to his heart. He got very close to Hagar, and he got very close to Ishmael. And then God blessed him and gave him the son that he promised with Sarah. And then Sarah said, I don't want that boy of yours in my house anymore. Get him out. And Abraham said, you're the one that convinced me to have him. He stays. And that argument went on until God intervened and said, you need to listen to your wife. Now, it's not recorded in Scripture, but I can see God and Abraham having a conversation on that point right there. Amen. Hey, God, she is the one that convinced me to do this, and now you're telling me when I messed up by obeying her voice at that time that I'm supposed to follow what she says? I thought in your economy, the women are supposed to submit to the men. You could just hear that conversation. And you could probably hear God saying something like, she may have suggested to you to have that child by Hagar, but she's not the one that went into her. Dude. That was your doing. And so consequently, you're the one that has to deal with this. May I tell you something? There's another difficulty sometimes in obeying God. And that's not only that sometimes you may have to, it may be a grief to your family. I'm going to tell you something. It may be a grief to you. It may get inside of your heart so much that you will do everything you possibly can to argue your way out of it with God. Because you just can't stand what it's doing to your heart to have to give up whatever you have to give up in order to obey God. But Abraham did it. He didn't want to send Ishmael away, but he did it. And God confirmed that what Sarah was saying was right. He says in verse 12, "In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Boy, that's a double whammy. On the one hand, it's a grief. And on the other hand, he has to do what his wife told him to do. Obedience can be tough. You know what? In spite of the opposition, in spite of the grief, Abraham obeyed God, and that's the key. He sent her away. To this day, the Ishmaelites, they don't go by that name, are still hanging around the Jews and still causing problems for them. It was a terrible mistake that Abraham made. But God gave him a way to redeem it, and he said, just move him. Move him away. And as much as it hurt him, he did it. Obeying God can be a grief to your family sometimes. Obeying God can be a grief to you. You might have to eat some crow, and it may hurt your heart because of what you have to give up. But I'm telling you, it is the right thing to do. Let's look at another episode. This one, this is probably the first one that came to mind when I introduced the subject to you, Genesis chapter 22. Isaac has been born. Now he's a teenager. And so for all intents and purposes, he is the only son of Abraham, because Ishmael is now gone and out of the house, and that episode in his life is over. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." That, you know, when God calls like that, you almost don't want to answer sometimes. "Here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Interesting study. That mountain is Calvary. It's where Jesus died. And so you're seeing a whole picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Verse 3, Abraham hesitated for a few weeks, discussed it over with Sarah, wrestled with God about it, and then tried to figure out how he could get out of it. Oh, did I read something in there that wasn't there? Oh, I gave you a modern version. Sorry. No, verse 3, he says, do this. And verse 3, Abraham, he didn't even wait around. Rose up early in the morning. Okay, God, you want me to do it? We're gone. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Never change the subject. We're going, we're coming back. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. That's like Jesus carrying the cross. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. That's like the sword that was piercing the side of Jesus Christ. They went both of them together, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. He said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire. You know, this guy's a teenager. He didn't get it till after 3 days. But he did get it, thank God. Behold the fire and the wood, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, you're it. No, he didn't say that. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. That's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. It's a beautiful picture of the crucifixion. But let's get back to the topic of hand. Oh, when Lynn and I were talking about this, he asked the question, do you think Sarah knew? And my answer at that time was a little different than my answer is going to be right now. My answer is, if she didn't, she was fixing to. You don't go kill your teenage son and then come back and say, I don't know what happened to him. You got two men with you, okay, as witnesses. Yeah, she knew. When the angel, when the prophecies of Anna and Simeon were being given over the Lord Jesus Christ, one of them, I think it was Simeon, said to her, "And a sword shall pierce thy own soul also." Speaking of the death of her son. In other words, they're going to kill him, but it's going to be like they killed you. It's going to hurt so bad. Now, it's amazing. Abraham didn't stick around for the argument. God said, kill him. He said, we're gone. She said, what are you going to do? I'm going to sacrifice him on a mountain. See ya. If they talked about it. And I'll just say for the purposes of this that they did, and I'm going to tell you another great difficulty with obedience of God is that it may be a grief to your wife. Boy, where did the amen section go, fellas? There are some of you here today who, when you got saved, had an entire family of folks that were still religious but not saved. Some of you came to me and said, "What? How do we do this?" And I said to you, just come and be faithful, stay in your Bible and pray. And over time, your family will see your faithfulness and begin to understand some of the things happening in your life, because they will see changes and conversations will come up where things you're reading and hearing will become subjects of the conversation, and they're going to become curious and start coming with you, and the next thing that you know, they're going to get saved, and maybe even in time, they'll be serving the Lord with you. But I'm going to tell you what, boy, the pillow talk is scarce on the first day of your decision. And the second. And the first month. And the third month. And the sixth month. They don't go down without a fight, boys. Yeah, you're getting it. It's sinking in. I mean, listen, guys. You know, it's not easy to put up with the grief of your family when you're obeying God. That's tough. I'm talking about, you know, siblings and parents and things. It's not easy to put up with the grief in your own heart, but you have walked with God enough to know that in the fear of God, you better obey Him anyway. And I'll tell you, one of the most challenging things you will ever face in your life is putting up with the grief of your wife when you're trying to obey God. And that I say very seriously. It's not that it shouldn't be a grief to her, it just is. When I told my wife, announced to her one month before we were going off to Pensacola to go to school, that we were going off to Pensacola to go to school, and I watched her pack those boxes, there are tears. That tape wouldn't stick. She'd cry over those boxes, trying to tape them down and just give up. I know I'm exaggerating a little, but I'm telling you, boy, she did not want to go. She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Sure." "How do you know you're sure?" "I was praying. God told me." He said, "Well, go back and pray some more." Aren't you glad we did that?
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad we did that. Amen. Yeah, well, the rest of the story, she's over here qualifying that she was 7 months pregnant. So she had to change doctors. I didn't have a job. You know, there were some complications here. Major complications. But it was a grief. She loved our home. She loved the place where we were. We were established. Women are nesters. And rightly so. I'm glad they are. I like our nest. Okay? But boy, it can be hard. I think she knew, and I think like Sarah, it was piercing through her heart. Hard, grievous decision. I know many a man that have balked at obeying God because of his wife's grief. Consider Adam and Eve. She ate before he did. And he had to make a choice. Do I obey what God told me to do in Genesis 2:17? Or do I try to rescue my dear wife? That's mine. And you know what he did? He balked at obeying God. And he ate the fruit. Boy, I bet we're sorry he did that. All of human nature cursed on the decision of a man to follow to comfort his wife's grief rather than to obey God. I'm telling you, gentlemen, it is a very, very real and serious hazard and difficulty when it comes to obeying God. I'm going to tell you something. When you balk at obeying God and stop short of doing what He asks you to do in order to assuage your spouse's grief, it never goes well with you in the end. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Sapphira had anything to do with persuading Ananias to lie to God about the offering? I do. I think she did. What if you give all that money, honey, and the church doesn't work out and the Jews disband the disciples? Then how are we going to eat? We ought to at least keep back a little. And I say, yeah, but I don't want to be less spiritually appearing than the other men that are there that have given all. Well, you know what we could do? We could just pretend. And so he didn't obey God. He lied to God to assuage some of the fear that his wife had about fully obeying God. Yeah, I think perhaps she had a little something to do with that decision. Listen, I don't hold it against her, because that's the nature of a mother and spouse. But I hold it against him for not obeying, for lying to God. And let me tell you something, gentlemen, you can't let that hang you up on obeying God, because you're still going to face Him one day and give account. May I show you something through all of these difficulties that Abraham's faced? Look at the growth in his faith during all of this. When he was first asked to obey God and leave, he only partially obeyed, kept Lot with him. The next time he was told to obey regarding Ishmael, he did, but not without a fight, not without some hesitation. But the last time when he was told to obey, he didn't even hesitate. He didn't even argue. He rose up early the next morning and said, "We're going." Why? Because he knew that in the way of obedience with God is the blessing, is the provision, is the protection. He knew by faith, the New Testament tells us, that God was not going to keep that boy dead. He knew that if he went through with the sacrifice, God would raise him from the dead. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that. He knew he would never have to face his wife without that son. He knew it. He didn't see it, but he had faith in God. His faith grew in his obedience. He knew that if he didn't have to kill that boy, then God was going to substitute, which is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. God did provide himself a lamb for our sakes that we might be saved. He knew that. And what the point very simply is, the more you obey God, the easier it is to obey. And he gives you little things in which to obey him. Now obey him in those little things, and your faith will grow, and you will see that the way of obedience is the right way, is the best way. God blessed Abraham's obedience. You're in Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven a second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." You can't swear by anything higher than that. "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Israel is going to have Jesus Christ reigning on the throne of David and become the supreme nation of the world in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ because of Abraham's obedience to God, if those verses say what they mean and mean what they say. That's big. That's big. So let me just conclude with this. Obey God in spite of the grief that it may cause your family. Obey God in spite of the grief that it may cause you heart. Obey God in spite of the grief that it may cause your spouse. If God has given you something to do, you do it just the way God told you to. No questions asked. Yes, sir. Reporting to duty, sir. What would you have me to do? I didn't preach the gospel, but I'll say, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you've heard some remarkable things. You couldn't do this without Him. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, pictured here by what Abraham did, was going to do with his son Isaac, died on the cross, shed His blood that you might be saved. You know what your obedience is? To receive Him. And when you do, you get the blessings of heaven. You say, but my family is religious. They may not go along with that. They never do at first. But I've seen men that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior with a religious family of 9 siblings. And I witnessed a day when the man that trusted Christ, the young man that trusted Christ, stood there with his mother and father and all 9 of his siblings, arms locked in round and round like this, and said, I got saved. They didn't like it. But today, all of mine have come to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't happen if he hadn't obeyed God and succumbed to that fear. You got to get over that stuff. The Bible says you must be born again. That's a command of God. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Stick around after the service. We'll be glad to show you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I'm very thankful for several things. I'm very thankful for Lynn's interest in learning more and more about teaching and preaching the Word of God. I know he's taught for years, but we never quit learning. I'm thankful, Father, that you introduced us to this passage of Scripture this week. We were going through it and showed some profound truths in it for all of us. What a benefit today. Father, I'm thankful that you've put this message together for the sake of our people that are gathered here. How crucial the obedience to God is, and how detrimental when we fail to do it for some fear. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, work amongst our people today, and wherever we've got some hesitancy, wherever we've got some holding back, Lord, I pray that they'll step across the line and say, you know what? That answered it for me. I know now what I need to do. I'm obeying God. I'm letting this stuff go. I pray they'll do it. And Father, if there's anybody here without the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that your Holy Spirit will nudge them. Let them know, hey, he offered an opportunity for you to be saved, to learn about salvation by Jesus Christ. Stick around. You don't want to miss that. We'll ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.